You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another news episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, as always, and grateful to be here with you today. In the wake of the coronavirus, many drone businesses are being shuttered, and even our close friends here at home. Joining me today, as always, is our good friend, Mr. Haya Kestelo from Drone DJ. Haya, how is the coronavirus affecting you? What's going on in New York?
Hey, Paul. Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show again. Coronavirus in New York. I mean, things are getting a little bit crazier by the day. I mean, for instance, we live in Westchester County, which is slightly north of New York City, where we had that instance in New Rochelle, where they quarantined this whole area. Right now, all the schools are closed. Our kids are upstairs. It's all online learning now. I feel that currently they're just discovering how many more people already have the virus, even though previously there wasn't known because there aren't any tests available. And I think now you see that all those numbers ramp up because they realize, or they find out how many people actually have already been infected. So things are getting a little bit more crazy. I mean, we try to self-isolate as much as we can. Of course, it's not always super easy, especially with kids that are young and want to play outside and run around. But we do the best we can, and hopefully this will be behind us soon. But to be honest, I'm not sure it will. It seems like we got a bit of a road ahead of us, unfortunately.
Yes, it does seem like we have a road ahead of us, but the coronavirus may not be all bad news for drone pilots. And here at Drone U, it's making us really think about, what to focus on, what to prioritize. Because with everyone spending so much time at home, it really does provide an opportunity to better yourself, right? To change the entertainment versus educational ratio. How much TV versus how much are you learning, right? To better your business, to work on your business instead of working in it. And I do have some good news as far as the coronavirus is concerned for drone pilots. We have a couple pilots, especially on the West Coast. One of our good friends in Boise, Idaho, has seen an uptick of almost threefold in flight missions, going from 15 flight missions of roof inspections for the insurance industry per week to 45 flight missions, as social distancing has had many companies, well, ramp up the use of drones. So the data is coming in that if drone pilots are spending time and continuing to build relationships, opportunities are actually arising and not disappearing. Although for some people like me, most of my studio jobs with our good friends in the studios, the platforms that you probably watch at home, they've shuttered production for a couple weeks. So personally, I've lost a couple of drone jobs, but I don't think that they will be gone forever. If anything, I think it'll be a huge uptick once summer starts.
Yeah. I agree with you on that, Paul. I think once things turn back to normal, you're going to have a lot of pent-up demand that's going to come back to the market, and we'll all be playing catch-up to get the work done. So I think it's like it's a big pause right now. You just stop pretty much everything that you do, but once things turn back to normal, I think we'll be crazy busy.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I have to say, you know, here at Drone U, because we see this happening, we wonder, what is our competition doing? What are our drone pilots doing to better themselves? And so that's why here at Drone U, we've scheduled an entire webinar series and a lot of online live classes. So what we're doing is we're throwing our search and rescue disaster relief class, which is focusing on PIX4D React and Locate. We're teaching that next Friday. In addition, we're going to be offering our drone mapping bootcamp, that 3-day long, flagship mapping class that we're known for here at Drone U, having that high standard of quality. Well, if you want to join me for 3 days, we're going to be doing a live class. That way you can interact and engage. On top of that, Vic's new class that we were supposed to launch with the in-person aerial photography class, well, since we can't do in person, we're going to be launching that as well as an online class. Members will receive discounts to these online classes, and the webinars are free, but there will be an additional charge for these classes, as the engagement and interaction should be really off the charts since, well, we'll be here helping you guys out. Make sure to check that out on our Facebook page. If you are a DroneU member, I did post the links to all of these classes and the discount code in membership, so make sure to check that out. But Haya, I will say, in the wake of coronavirus, man, it seems like even, you know, the Spanish are now using drones to ward people off in the quarantine zone. I mean, we saw, you know, drones really being used heavily in Asia and China and disinfecting areas and even delivering packages, which could provide a massive opportunity for drone pilots in the United States. But as we're going to learn maybe after this next article or next piece of news, that may not be in the cards for Americans. But before we get there, what is going on in Spain? And it looks like someone is finally using a drone that I think most of the American market turned itself away from. But what are you seeing here?
Yeah, Italy, of course, is the European country that's probably at the forefront of the spreading coronavirus. They have still the most, by far the most recorded cases. However, Spain is rapidly closing in. And in all these countries, what you see happening is the government informs people to okay, socially distance yourself from others, try to flatten that curve so that not everybody's going to get sick at the same time. And we hopefully prevent this massive rush of people trying to get to hospitals to get treatments. In Spain, they've been using drones to help enforce this self-isolating part of the whole procedure, basically. So people who've been walking on the streets and walking in the parks, the police came out with radios mounted on their vehicles as well as drones to basically broadcast and tell people, hey, you shouldn't be hanging out with other folks, you shouldn't be walking in the park, really you should be going back home, you should self-isolate and help us try to slow down the spreading of the coronavirus. Now, we've seen the use of drones to fight the coronavirus, I think mostly so in China. They've been really creative. They had drones delivering packages, delivering food. They, weeks ago already, had drones broadcasting these messages for people to stay inside. But they've also used the DJI T-Agras, the T-16, that massive agricultural drone, to help spray disinfectants and quickly disinfect large areas of public space. And that's something we haven't really seen in any other country yet. In Spain, we've only heard that people use drones to communicate, but not to spray. But I think the spraying is, at least according to DJI, is very effective, as it's 50 times faster to spray by drone than it is to spray by traditional methods.
Yeah, I can only imagine how effective it is. But it makes me wonder. We're seeing all these efforts going on in Europe. We're seeing all these efforts going on in other parts of the world. But what about the United States? Because, you know, with what was going on before the coronavirus, we had the Rick Scott bill. We had the American Security Drone Act. And we're learning now that there is an executive order at the president's desk that would literally ban pretty much all drones in the United States. I mean, all drones. Essentially, what I have been told is that, long and the short of it is if there's any Chinese parts in these drones, that they don't want to be used whatsoever. Well, Haya, after some deep research, there's not a single company, including Skydio, including Freefly, including Impossible Aerospace, that is building drones without Chinese materials. No matter what, there's some form of Chinese part in there. And it's really disturbing because in the wake of the government being afraid of security, right? We heard this issue of drones broadcasting security. We talked about it here on the show. We knew it was a problem, but it's a very simple solution. You just don't allow the vehicle to have internet connectivity, and then problem solved. So with this, you know, EO that's coming out, this executive order that would essentially shutter the entire industry as a whole, it really has a lot of people worried because this could literally wipe out the entire drone industry, all to position Americans to build drones. Well, I think that a lot of American drone manufacturers who think that they've been fighting for a great thing to put America first might actually kill the entire industry as a whole and kill their hopes of building drones that would be anywhere near affordable to support these industries. Look, this is a numbers game, Haya. And if we can't buy drones for sub $3,000 to perform these tasks, and we can't get them from America, well then the drone industry as we know it, well, it's probably over. And one key sign that we're seeing from the US government in what's going on now is that the Department of the Defense has said, hey, coronavirus is a problem. We're not using drones. Haya, why not?
Yeah, apparently they said thank you, but no thanks. They're not going to be using drones, it seems, or they have currently at least no plans to use drones to disinfect large public spaces. And it makes you wonder because, I mean, agricultural drones aren't brand new. I mean, they've been around for a while. The technology is available. It's been tested. It's been used. So you can get the equipment. You can actually do that. And I think it would make a lot of sense to use drones for good in these kind of situations to help fight a virus. But as you said, that the U.S. government has been very reluctant and basically recently has been pushing back towards drones. So it seems unlikely that they'll be using them. And it makes you wonder why, because it would be such a more effective, more efficient and faster way to disinfect large public spaces than you could do any other way. So and going back to what you said about using Chinese parts in drones, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any modern piece of technology equipment right now that doesn't contain some form of Chinese parts. I mean, take a camera, not one that's mounted on a drone, but just any regular camera, or take your cell phone, your smartphone. I mean, anything nowadays would have parts that are made in China. So if we're going to go down that road and ban drones because they might contain Chinese parts, or they do contain Chinese parts, then I think, you wonder where that's going to lead us and what else would be banned if you follow the same rules. So I think that's taking it a step too far for sure.
I think it's 100 steps too far, and I really do think it would absolutely ruin, crush, kill the industry. It's over. It's been fun, guys. Thank you very much. I do think, though, that there are some insiders that are trying to speak some common sense to our government elected officials to say, look, we understand that your concerns, but we have to deal with this in a rational way. We have to understand the problem as a whole. What's the solution? Can we solve this without hurting the American people? I think the coronavirus is really helping us kind of delay this. In fact, we've heard some rumblings and grumblings that the FAA may actually delay the rollout of remote ID because of what's going on. And I will say, maybe the coronavirus is a benefit to the drone industry as a whole if remote ID does get perpetually delayed. Because I have to say now, with what's going on with the government, what's going on with the coronavirus, you know, credibility and the ability to listen and comply is almost at an all-time low. Look at the number of kids that are still at spring break and all these beaches in Texas and Florida who have no idea about the potential dangers of a pandemic. So I think if you compare that level of compliance with what we're going to see in the FAA deploying remote ID, I think that this really could cause just a massive compliance problem that, unlike anything we've ever seen, but we don't need to harp on the bad too much. But I think it is important, though, you know, as we had that recent podcast, Haya, with the FDNY talking about drone programs, talking about public safety operating under Part 107 or a COA, I have to say, after reading your most recent article about a DJI Matrice 210 was lost in the ocean, before you even tell us what happened, after reading your story and without even talking to you about it, this looks like user error on two accounts. Number one, you've got a public safety agency that's operating in North Carolina, which North Carolina touts itself as the best state to operate drones as it's first in flight, and it was the first to breach federal memorandums of federal preemption. Yet they're stating that these systems are actually helping deploy drone programs, and while that may be true in some instances, it seems like drone programs in North Carolina are plagued by the similar problems by drone programs all over the country, which is simply a lack of operational understanding, a lack of standards, and a lack of, well, knowing the third rule of takeoff, which probably would have saved this guy in battery management and saved $26,000 from plunging right into the ocean. But Haya, for those of us who love hearing about a good crash, what do you got?
This was a large exercise in which drones were involved as well, but they also had boats out into the ocean. So it was a group exercise of multiple departments, basically. And they had one DJI Matrice 210 outfitted with not just a Zenmuse X-T2, which is like the dual camera with the thermal, but also a Zenmuse Z30, which is the high-end, incredible zoom camera that you can get from DJI. So put these two cameras and gimbals onto a Matrice 210, and you're looking at an aerial package that's probably going to put you back about $26,000. And they were flying it over the ocean, which is fine in itself, as long as, like what you pointed out earlier, make sure your battery levels are okay, but also take into consideration in what direction the wind is blowing and how strong the wind is. And in this case, the wind was blowing offshore. So they flew out, they were further than a mile out over the ocean. And then by the time they had to make their way back, they realized that with a fairly strong headwind, you need a bit more battery power to make it safely back to shore. So once they realized they weren't going to be able to make it back to the shore, they decided to initiate a controlled emergency crash landing and basically dump the entire drone into the ocean. And you can, of course, argue about this being a pilot error and a lack of pre-flight preparations. But also you wonder if they had so many boats out, if really the best option that was left on the table once they realized that they weren't going to be able to make it back to shore was to dump the drone into the ocean. I mean, why not crash land the drone onto a boat? And I understand with moving boats and ocean swell and the drone is moving, that might not be the easiest thing to do. But at least if you were able to crash land it, you'd probably have some spare parts now, or maybe even a camera would survive. So it seems like that would have been a slightly better option than what happened here. It was very expensive. And the thing that kind of struck me in this article was that the way the people that were involved in this incident were talking about losing a $26,000 drone. I mean, of course, this is all funded by taxpayer money. And you would think that if you fly drones that are that expensive, then either you have pilots that are experienced enough to bring those drones back safely to shore, or if it's an inexperienced pilot, then maybe have him or her fly a slightly less expensive drone before you hand the controls to a $26,000 unmanned aircraft. In the last month, this was an article on Drone DJ that got by far the most comments. If you go to the article, you see people are arguing back and forth about what should have done, how the severity of the pilot error that was made in this case. They are going to do an internal investigation. It was unsure at this point whether the insurance would cover the expense of the drone. I'm not sure if it would, because I'm not sure if this is really an accident. But we'll see if we can learn something new about that. Yeah, it seems like a very expensive mistake, to say the least.
Yes. And it just makes me wonder, would this crash have been inhibited by the pilot having voltage on main screen? And moving on to the next story, because it looks like that
maybe.
Pilot...
I don't know if they...
There's no maybe, Haya. If he's... I don't care if he's headed into the headwind. I don't care how much battery power he has left. Battery voltage, Purcell would have told him if it was a safe flight or not. And you can actually see in your... I'm looking at the feed here, and it looks like the pilot who was a part of the operation is like frantically fighting everyone in your comment feed. And it's really this guy, Michael, it's really rather interesting just to look at the comments, like you said, where people are like, oh, the government is just dumping 30K in the sky. And this guy is like, hey, it's a training mission. Well, obviously, it's not a training mission if you're not learning from it. So I think this is a great example, Haya.
They learned. They learned. But what I was going to say is that, yeah, sure, you need to pay attention to your battery levels. But, I mean, I don't think they factored in the headwinds that they were facing on the flight back. And if it's a 50 mile per hour headwind that you have to fly into, then it's going to take you a little longer to cover the same 1 mile distance than otherwise. So, I mean, every time I fly, I prefer to fly into the winds, especially when I fly out here over the Hudson River, because that way at least I know than flying out. And I think they totally missed that in this situation.
Well, yeah. And again, if you're flying into headwinds and you're carrying a heavy payload, you'll watch battery voltage drop in a headwind because amperage is pulling so much energy out of the battery. And I agree with you, Haya. I mean, flying, this is, again, we talk about this in Flight Mastery. If it's a windy day, fly into the wind and let it come back to you. But also it makes you wonder if the pilot understood that he could have took the drone out of GPS mode and he would have had even more battery power available because the puck was not drawing amperage. But again, Haya, this just goes to show that even those in public safety who think that, you know, they've got experience, they've got confidence and whatnot, this is not an easy subject to learn or master. This is something that takes systematic knowledge, systems, and training to avoid these problems. And yet we're seeing agency after agency after agency continue to make these problems. And we heard Bill English say it best, spend most of your budget on training. That way you can avoid these catastrophic errors that might cost someone their job. But moving on to our next piece of news. You know, I'm really wondering, with in the wake of coronavirus, DJI launches their new drone. What? What's going on here? What can we expect? But I'm more curious, Haya, as to what is the reaction? Are people really soaking this information up? Are they getting excited? Are they going to want to buy this drone? What's going on here?
Yeah, so a couple of days, pictures were leaked that show a new DJI Mavic-type drone. It looks very, very similar to a DJI Mavic 2 Pro or Zoom. Has the same color, same body shape, same overall design and form factor. People were speculating initially that this would be the DJI Mavic Air 2, a successor to the DJI Mavic Air. However, if you look at the bottom of the drone, it's clearly spelled out Mavic. So we suspect that this is not a Mavic Air 2, although you might see it as a successor. But they're going to launch this as the DJI Mavic. And as we know, that all drones weighing more than 250 grams as of January 1st, 2020, would have ADS-B in on board, which is a safety feature that we expect to see on this drone for sure. And also, we expect this drone to have 360-degree obstacle avoidance, probably making this the safest drone DJI has ever launched for the consumer and prosumer markets. Initially, this drone was rumored to come out in April, but now with the coronavirus, it seems that might have been set back to July. So we're not going to see this drone probably anytime soon. More likely, it's going to be this summer. The rumors say that it could be priced around $799, in which case it would be a very competitive drone. I mean, if you look at what currently is available, you could get a DJI Mavic Pro, but that's kind of like an old tech drone by now, you could say. You can get a DJI Mavic Air if you can still get your hands on one, but that's priced around $900. So I'm not sure why you want to go that route. A DJI Mavic Mini, of course, is available, but that's a lot less capable. And if you look at the drones that are available upmarket, you're going to look at the Skydio. That could be a good competitor, slightly more expensive, or within the DJI family of products, you're looking at the DJI Mavic 2 Pro and Zoom that are significantly more expensive. So if you look at an ideal consumer drone, I think this DJI Mavic, even though we don't have all the specs yet, could actually be a very, very attractive package. It's going to be well below $1,000. You're going to get a drone that has OcuSync 2, so you're going to have great connectivity. It's going to be very safe to fly, and I'm pretty sure it's going to have 4K capability when it comes to video. And it's probably much higher quality levels than we've seen before. So I think this could be a very, very interesting package. Of course, slightly disappointed that it's likely that the coronavirus will put back this launch until the summer and not in April as it was originally planned. So we have to be a little bit patient, but I think for this summer, we should have a really nice new DJI drone available.
Wow. Are you seeing a lot of interest in the drone right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we just go by the traffic that the articles get, this was by far our number one article as of this year. So a lot of people are interested in DJI Mavic drones. And of course, when there's a new drone that's about to be launched, that generates a lot of buzz for sure.
Wow. Very interesting. I think it'll be cool to see what comes of it. Just based off of the look of the camera, though. I don't know. I don't want to make any statements before I get to fly it, but will be interesting for sure. I would love to see an Addy mode on it as usual. You know me, Haya. You know what I like. But going much further beyond DJI, as drones are saving lives, and as we make our way down to Australia and New Zealand, it looks like drones are being used in more and more ways. And one of those ways is saving surfers, saving people who are constantly fighting riptides to enjoy the sport that they love. The interesting part, though, is how they're doing it. And Haya, I have to say, I've never seen anything like this before, and I think it's absolutely a brilliant way to find surfers and save their lives. What are they doing differently here?
Yeah, Australia, of course, has a very, very strong surfing culture, as everybody would probably know. But there's a drone company called the Ripper Group in Australia that for at least the last 3 years have been at the forefront of using drones to keep swimmers and surfers and beachgoers in general safe from, let's say, sharks and crocodiles and other instances in which they might drown. They've developed a drone called the Little Ripper that has artificial intelligence, and it's actually able to distinguish, let's say, a manta ray fish fish or a shark or a dolphin, from swimmers, from surfers, from people just wading in the water, and they can see when there's a situation where somebody might be in distress. Secondly, they have drones that can actually deploy flotation devices. So when somebody is actually in distress, they fly a drone out and drop a flotation device to help save people. So this company has been very much at the forefront of using drones to help people stay safe in the water. Right now, what they've done is they've used DJI Mavic drones, and it seems like it might be the DJI Mavic 2 Enterprise, and they've outfitted them with a dive-dropping mechanism. So similarly to the drones that people use to fish offshore, where they fly out the bait and drop it, let's say, half a mile to the ocean, these drones here, used by the Ripper Group, they have little drop devices that drop dye into the ocean. It's a degradable dye, so there's no harm done there. But they drop it in places where there is a rip current. And once you drop the dye in, you can actually see the flow of the water, and you can actually identify those hazardous spots where people should stay away from. So it's yet another use case for drones to help and keep swimmers safe. And I think it's awesome to see what they do in Australia, and it makes you wonder why we don't see more of drones used in similar ways here in the United States. I mean, you probably know Australia is known for a lot of shark attacks and sharks getting close to the shoreline, but it's not the number one. I mean, if you look at Florida, I think Florida is still the capital when it comes to shark attacks and shark sightings among swimmers. So you would think that if this stuff works in Australia, we might be able to use it here in Florida. We might be able to use it even in up in Cape Cod, where they see great white sharks, or in California. And every time I'm kind of amazed by what you see happening with drones in other countries, and then how little of that we see happening here in the US. And I think there's so much opportunity. So I think it would be good for life-saving communities or rescue operations to use more drones and get more drones in the hands of more people and save more lives that way.
Yeah, it's interesting how what's supposed to be the world's safest airspace and best airspace system is actually inhibiting the economy as a whole. And that's not surprising. So I think it's just so important to remember, everyone, that you know, whenever we're making decisions about using drones and regulations, to be so far on one side of an issue or so far on the other side of an issue isn't really going to help us. What's going to help us is really thinking through these issues and understanding how we can move forward as a collective. And hopefully, again, everyone who's listening to this show, hopefully after this remote ID debacle, you have learned what companies are truly after. I mean, you know, we saw a report recently about how many people had financial gains to benefit from people who were sitting on the DAC committee, and it was over 88% of the people sitting on that committee would gain financially from remote ID. And then we saw AirMap come out with Verizon and Skyward and Kitty Hawk saying, oh, most of the comments are overblown and remote ID is still great for people. Are you guys listening? Are you guys retarded? Like, do you think that the drone industry is stupid? Look, we're not stupid. And I would ask everyone to go watch the replay of that little shit show that was put out by those companies and make a decision for yourself. But for me, I'm going to get to the point where if I hear any drone you member using any of those products, I might just remove them from the community. Because when are we going to get to the understanding that our impetuousness is allowing these companies to grow further, okay? We have to stand up and say, no, I'm not using your platform anymore. No, I'm not okay with this. No, remote ID is not good for us. You guys are idiots, okay? I know that that attitude is pervasive in the FPV community, in the AMA community, and the hobbyist community. I would like to see more commercial users just stand up and say, enough is enough. With that said, that takes us to our next piece of drone news. And as you said, Haya, the only, you know, people who are flying drones and advancing the industry as a whole are doing so illegally. But in New Zealand, it looks like drones are once again being used to benefit society. And it makes you wonder, if all these successful uses of drones continue in other parts of the world without safety issues, well, it makes you wonder, how come it's not happening here? Haya, what's going on in New Zealand?
Yeah, in New Zealand, there's a company, and they've used a mini helicopter that you fly remotely. Mini, as in, what is it? Substantial. And they use it to drop bait to basically get rid of pests. And they've used it successfully in, I think it's around 117 offshore islands off the New Zealand coast, where they would fly these drones out, drop the bait, and basically get rid of pests such as rats and other animals that kill the native species. There's a lot of birds that lay their eggs in nests on the ground, and they get targeted by these rats. So using the drone was turned out to be a very effective manner to get rid of them. They can drop the bait much more precisely, as these drones can fly much lower to the ground. And of course, since these are unmanned aircraft, they have no risk of a airplane crashing and then killing the occupants. So they're able to get a lot closer to the action, drop the bait very, very precisely. And it's been very successful. They've spent the last 2 years using this method in those 117 offshore islands. Now they're going to the main shore and use the same technique there. Now, remember, of course, New Zealand, you have a lot of very mountainous and very steep and rugged terrain that's not easily accessible at all. So when you look at traditional methods of positioning these baits, you need people to actually get out there, which is both dangerous and not easy to do. And of course, this is where drones come in handy. You just fly them remotely, fly them right to where you need to drop the baits and drop it and get out of there. So New Zealand is one of those countries where the regulation for drones are a little less restrictive than they are here in the US. And that's when you get to see new and innovative ways of people using drones. So I think it's very interesting, very exciting. And yeah, you could probably use this same method here in the US as well.
Yeah, it probably could be very useful, Haya, here in the United States. But as we move into our last piece of drone news, it looks like the only people using drones to advance the industry, well, maybe only advancing their social position inside of prison. What's going on in New Jersey, Haya?
We've seen this before, but now the most recent case happens in New Jersey, where people would use drones to drop contraband, meaning marijuana, cell phones, SIM cards, and other things that are not typically allowed inside prisons. To use these drones and fly them inside the prison, drop the materials, and then have one of the inmates pick it up. Well, these guys, two of them, Nicole Danicello, 38 years old, and Adrian Coulgaran, if I pronounce that correctly, 35 years old, they used off-the-shelf drones, it seemed, to do just that, to fly contraband into a New Jersey prison, the Fort Dix prison, and basically drop the materials. And of course, they were found out and later on captured. They've been arrested, and the maximum penalty for them seemed to be $100,000 and 1 year in prison, whereas the conspiracy charge, which is the second charge these guys are facing, carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison plus a maximum fine of $250. So for anybody listening to this show, and if anybody's contemplating doing anything like this, please don't. The fines and the penalties are way too high, and it's not worth it. And typically, you won't get away with it. We've seen cases, I think there's been four or five situations similar like this in the United States. We've seen two or three of them in England. And in all cases, the drone pilots were caught and basically apprehended. So not a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea for anyone to try it. And now that there are so many different ways to see drones flying and see who is flying them without a remote ID, I would recommend people don't do this. Not only because you can be seen, you can be caught, but because, well, it's just not the right thing to do. Think about long term. What? Come on, people. What? If you make these decisions, what's going to happen down the road? Just start thinking like that and you might be better off. But Haya, I have to say, what an interesting week of news. I mean, what do you see going on in the future? Do you have any predictions for us?
I think a lot of it is tied to the coronavirus, of course. I mean, what we haven't seen is that the drone news surely has not slowed down during the first so many weeks of the coronavirus. What I do suspect, though, is that a lot of companies in the drone industry, and not just the big ones like DJI, but pretty much all of them, are going to probably face issues with their logistics and their production. For instance, the delay or the suspected delay of the DJI Mavic until this summer is one example. We know that DJI closed their offices for 2 weeks in China. We know that Zero Robotics had to close their offices. Autel has been impacted by it. I haven't heard anything about the U.S. drone manufacturers, but I mean, since they all use Chinese parts as well, and of course, since we're affected in this country also, it wouldn't surprise me that we see fewer product launches this year. If you look at, for instance, all the drone conferences and get-togethers that people are organizing, a lot of those are getting postponed as well. So I think that within the first 4 or 5 months of this year, maybe 6 months, we're probably not going to see that much in terms of product releases, expos or conventions. Pretty much everything is going to get postponed and pushed back until the second half of the year. And of course, that's under the assumption that coronavirus wouldn't come back when the fall season comes around. So I think it's going to be a much more quiet year than we would hope for. And everybody is being impacted by the coronavirus. So please stay safe. And hopefully it won't be as bad as some people think it might be.
For sure. And I think what will make it so much better is if we all stay at home and self-quarantine as long as possible. So the more aggressive we are now with that, the better off we'll be in the long term. But anyway, Haya, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show today. And thank you for your time, and excited to kind of navigate this with you. And I just want to say thanks again for joining us today.
Same here, Paul. It was a pleasure to be on the show, and I'm looking forward to the next show. Hopefully, we'll have some exciting new drone news next week as well.
Yes, hopefully. But hopefully. I'm really excited for it. But that's going to do it for us today. Haya, thank you. And thank you for everyone else out there who's watching the show. Don't be afraid to subscribe to the show, and don't be afraid to leave us a review and let us know how we're doing. But thank you again for joining us. As always, join us for the next couple of webinars. They are posted on the DroneU Facebook page, facebook.com/DroneU. And join us for a live class. So, well, maybe we can interact together. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul. He's the Flying Dutchman. And this is Ask DroneU.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the DroneU.